Hello, hello. Good evening. This is Nectar Island on the alcohol-free beer on a nice Thursday evening. Just played the new track by Kamasi Washington, The Garden Path, recommended by our friend and guru, Yonel Shawat. And yeah, also just before that, we had a new show, Young Blood, Mind Out. And yeah, but feeling a bit, I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling a bit intimidated. So slick and professional. And like, I've been doing this for I don't know how many years. I still don't know how to fucking do it. But anyway, no, good one. So yeah, just stay tuned every Thursday, 6 o'clock for Mind Out.
First Thursday.
I'm on the alcohol-free stuff, and I'm just already babbling. And yeah, so with me as usual, Rafa, how's it going?
Yeah, good. How good?
Pretty good. And then lurking around, we've got the Hillhead to Harlesden crew.
I'm guessing this mic's on. Yeah.
Yeah. They, you know, feel free to interject. And So how's it been going?
Yeah, good. Good. February just flew by, I think. How compressed in time. And lots of things.
It seems like this time we've been watching something in common religiously in the new Curb season.
Enthusiasm. Amazing.
Yeah, it's just like as Yonel Shawat was saying, Every episode is genius, but it's kind of bittersweet because you know it's the last one.
Yeah, that's true. And there are not many of its kind out there. You know what I mean? Like it's hard. Like it's very. I don't know. I don't know who else could do something like that. You know, like that kind of like dark humor.
Yeah.
It's just like you forgive him because he's just Larry David. You know.
Yeah.
He can do anything he wants in a sense. And still, there's this poster, Lionel sent me, Shawa, that it says something like, there's like Curb Your Enthusiasm season 10? What is the season? 10?
We're on 12 now.
12, right. Yeah. Season 12, Curb Your Enthusiasm. And then like the log line is like, you know that deep inside out, you are like him.
That's great, yeah. And I just feel like, and the cool thing about it is like, every season they keep like adding new characters, which become good. And I love like Tracy Ullman, like his girlfriend who he doesn't want to be with. Yeah. She's excellent. She's really funny.
Yeah, really good.
And yeah, no, I thought it was and so many quotable lines and like definitely.
Talking which, something that we watched together, but you haven't been here in the last show.
Yeah, sorry. I think I've been AWOL.
So I have like it's just like this is like this kind of situation of like just remember about the the Happy New Year thing, but I'm doing like the Happy Birthday thing. Blake, and I have something for you.
This is a live birthday present.
Live birthday gift.
I'm not sure this makes for great radio.
Describe.
Can I describe Christian's reaction?
Listener, can you hear the rustling?
You can hear the unpeeling of the present.
Can you hear the rustling?
He's bated breath. It's an understatement.
I think there might be some... Some money in there.
I don't know if you have it. No, there's no money. I'm not a gram of an envelope of money.
Oh, wow. Of Walking in Ice by Werner Herzog. No, I don't. I haven't read this. A friend of mine yesterday was telling me he was reading the new memoir, which he said was obviously, since it's Werner Herzog, genius.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I have to read it, yes. But this is the one that he talked about in the movie. The diary where he was walking from Germany to France on foot, and it was his diary off this trip of like walking the earth and seeing these things and how he became a filmmaker basically.
Okay, so, and it's 70 pages long, so I'll definitely be
you
able
have time to read it. Yeah,
yeah, book report next show.
No fat.
Yeah,
so straight to the point. Love it.
But it's something that, you know, like I always have been curious about, in the sense of like, you read it for work, right? Like you have you do a lot of reading for work. So I don't know if you read for fun.
Oh no, I read for fun. I tend to, because I work in nonfiction editing and publishing, and so yeah, whenever I can, I just read fiction and all of this. Well, Werner Herzog, you can never know whether it's really nonfiction.
That's the beauty of it.
It's probably mostly fiction.
Yeah, sure.
But definitely Werner Herzog. And his latest film is the one about the volcanoes.
His latest film was, I think it's the one about the meteors.
Meteors. God, this is a very precise show.
But there is one about volcanoes as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's an older one, yeah. So you come here for the
researcher.
Fire
the researcher.
Yeah, yeah. Don't come here for cutting edge knowledge or any precise. And then, speaking of... speaking of films, Oscars coming up.
Oscars coming up.
And you were a contributor to the BAFTAs.
You voted. I was useless because Oppenheimer won.
You didn't press the Oppenheimer button like repeatedly.
But I like Oppenheimer. It's not a bad point. It's just like, it's not my favorite. I think like Poor Things is really good. I don't know, it's controversial.
Steve-O
really
begs to differ.
I was not a fan. No.
At all, right? Like, you...
No, honestly, I was bored in places. I was like, is this going to end?
Oh, no.
One positive, the costume design is fantastic. Yes. And I mean, sincerely, that like, the costumes, you're like, wow, they're incredible.
Yeah, I guess.
But...
true. And Emma Stone? No.
No. Like, Emma Stone... So, not to give away anything in the movie, but, like, she's starting as this, you know, kind of baby.
In a grown-up's body, yeah.
And then within 5 minutes, she's got a posh English accent. And, like, well, where did that come
from?
That's just
natural
evolution. Meaning that you're living with a Scottish guy.
You know what? Babies... You know, like, that's a babies. Fact, science fact. Like,
left to their own devices, develop a posh English accent.
No. From the age 1 to
medical
5.
Medical research shows.
Maybe they've been watching Peppa Pig.
This is inaccurate as well, for sure. But like, I have read somewhere that from age 1 to 5, babies develop... like. We develop our brain for ages 1 to 5 more than the rest of our life. So ages 1 to 5 defines who you are, basically. Like it's an expansion of the brain that you're never going to have afterwards. And she was a baby. And then, she learns very fast.
Yeah, what she learned...
Did you read
English
this on Facebook?
Raphael, she learned a posh English accent despite living in a house, never being let out, with the only other person there having a Scottish accent.
Yeah, but that's magic of cinema.
Wow, you're
it's
stretching.
A surrealistic film.
You have to suspend your disbelief.
I guess so. But you know what? It's a mark of what I thought of the movie that I was noticing things like that. So
yeah.
So not for me, but I guess a lot of people think it's a very good movie, and it sounds like Emma Stone is probably the shoe-in for best actress this year.
So is it either she or the Killers of Forever Moon.
Gladstone.
Yeah, Lily Gladstone.
Yeah. I think is the actress's name.
I think Lily Gladstone is really good in Killers of Forever Moon. I think she's gonna win, even though like because it's indigenous as well, has the whole question about. I think not she deserves to win, but there's the kind of like a thing as well, a point to be made. I don't know.
Yeah, you could see the Academy, the Academy, you know, doing the right thing.
Yeah, doing the right thing. Yes, okay. Exactly. Yeah, sure. Exactly. I don't know. I don't really like that kind of stuff, but yeah, they kind of like, you know, these hashtags that come with everything nowadays, in a sense. Mm-hmm. Supposed to be the other way around, but yeah, that's it. So I like Poor Things. Didn't enjoy it.
So if we were the actual Academy, I'd be the deciding vote.
Yeah.
But, and you've not seen the movie.
But I've not seen the movie, so I need to really do my research.
One of the films that you liked, like Anatomy for a Fall.
Anatomy for a Fall, which I've talked to probably, I feel like, on every show. But
it's been like nominated for Best Film and Best Foreign Film.
When it won the Palme d'Or,
It won the Palme d'Or.
Yeah. So, I mean, that...
So.
Oh, well, someone has just whispered that he fell asleep.
Sorry.
Was it?
Oh, he fell asleep right now? Yeah. Oh, no, man. This is Nectar Island. Come on.
No, no. In the movie.
Oh, the movie.
So,
not here.
What part of the extended sessions in a legal courtroom did you fall asleep in? No, I thought it was really, really good. But I guess, yeah, I guess it depends on the mood. Yeah, and I would say, like, of the Oscars stuff I saw, it was probably my favorite. But then I've recently seen American Fiction, which I think for certain, I mean, definitely the main actor for American Fiction, Jeffrey Wright, I'm not actually sure he's actually nominated, but if he were, I would also consider him.
And you would have considered Dune then?
Dune's not for Oscar. No.
I haven't seen it.
2 years ago. I haven't seen it, but you have seen Dune 1.
Dune 1, great. It's great entertainment, and it was probably the first film I saw it during the pandemic, so it was the first time I went to the cinema during the pandemic, and I thought the first one was great, and Steve's seen the second one, and would you say it's even better?
I would not say it's even better, but I would highly rate it. Yeah. I thought it was very, very good.
You watched it in IMAX, or...?
No, because we couldn't get... It was sold out in the IMAX over the weekend, so we thought, well, you know what, we'll go to the... we'll just go to whatever cinema we can go to, and then... But I'm definitely planning a return trip to see it again at the cinema.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
A return trip?
Yeah. I saw the first Dune twice in the cinema.
Yeah, I'd be. I was tempted to rewatch Dune 1.
Big sets, big acting, big music, big action. It's, just like it's a big movie.
Just like Killers of the Flower Moon.
No.
No.
Big sets, big action. No.
Okay. Don't think so.
Okay, cool.
Not for me.
I'm trying to convince you.
It's fine.
We will meet on one movie.
No, we meet in Curb Your Enthusiasm, right? Like, or not? You haven't watched.
I don't think I'd be allowed to talk on the mic if I didn't like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It's
come on! Don't be just disgruntled.
Definitely. On that note, well, let's go for a small musical break and come back shortly.
Thank you. Huh? Yeah. It's a war zone where I'm from. Every day and night, I brace for impact. Before we learn reading and writing, we train for combat. It's about how we interact with each other. The village is the fragment. For every gun clap is another baby that's born trapped with damaged nerve tracks. Yeah, we're lost and drowning in competence. For some reason, I fail when it comes to attaining consciousness and emotional continence. Kill for nothing in search of opulence. And these days, we don't feel change nor a sarcophagus. A bottomless pit we found and in it, we chose to linger. The mighty fist we once held high. Become a middle finger with demon type demeanors. He slingers with reckless blind leaders and underachievers. False brother keepers below average readers. Snake feeders, they feed intel so we can be repressed. There's mental walls that blocks us in and our struggle to regress. Denied access to the tools that can help the oppressed. We find ways to push things forward that before us to regress. Our problems are unaddressed. Resources, there's still a major shortage. It's obvious to see we're left out, and that's the true reportage. Education and overall health is lacking in importance. The land of opportunity, how? Today we still the poorest, building a fortress. That takes time, I admit I lack patience. There's many like me, if no change, I'm opposite of gracious. I'm still audacious, it's rough being true when the world appears mendacious. Cause being courageous can get you maltreatment and thrown in their cages. It seems outrageous, you ask what I feel, I simply respond anger. A little bit of fear everywhere, I see the face of danger. The odds ain't in my favor, mistreatment brings out my ape behavior. Was told it gets great, I ain't waiting cause I won't be the nature word. Sometimes I feel shame, some moments I'm out of pride and terrified, don't wanna be victim of another fragile side. But all aside, the reason I'm here has now been clarified. Within a circle, it's safe to strive and peace is personified. Word.
This place seems so unreal, and I don't know how to feel, cause I ain't never seen this before. I come from ain't nothing more, yeah, and I ain't never felt this safe. Who would've thought we could find peace this way, cause I ain't never seen.
Says one eat bad, I'm Coptic. Dry ice in the tropics, bribe price, USD, not oxen. Right hand drive on the dotson. Open pin mind, how we ready, rocket. Diggers hoard scraps of oxygen. The head nigga nibble squares, a bit of chocolate. Indian ocean breeze through Barbadian cotton. These same parasites squeezing in Mercedes. Rows of tiny teeth, rotten bits of meat caught in between. They shitting hook worms and opulence. Everyone thought witchcraft, but it was neurotoxin. Libyan life raft, the last option. Chameleon when they boxed it. Shock doctrine on the shelf, Chimamanda on the nightstand. Yeah, we on it, popping. Bantu stars wanna be like Compton. Chester McLaughlin, middleman. 3-point stands for the rundown. Land grab when his hand touch ground. Fly through shantytown, Land Rover windows half lowered so I can be with the people. People rushing to their fate, bruv, don't let me keep you.
This place seems so unreal, and I don't know.
Just fine on its own. So second home. I can't hide behind me no more. I went so low and flew high. No one said it would be easy or crowded. How do you stay grounded alone? I wanna be surrounded by my design info, not for self. So trying to move up, but I'm rooting for us. You don't think there's too much pressure on me. I can't always be right, but I'ma always be righteous. Although it's tough, music and spirit, I admit I'm obsessive. Service looks different to every person. I'm overstimulated and so bored. Can only be comfortable for so long. Yeah. I've been putting me first. Oh yeah, you might have seen her, but now. I'ma be in and be out. That's the lesson trying to figure out. Is it worth it? Tell me. Is it worth it? If I saw when I'm home in the sea of the same face, is it worth my time?
Hello, welcome back. So yeah, we were listening to Sonido Cosmico by Hermanos Gutierrez. That's their new track. Then The Initiates piece by Real Bad Man featuring Luca and Billy Woods. And then another Lionel Shawat request / command was Is It Worth It by Ray Khalil. Speaking of Is It Worth It, I've heard that there's a good film, and speaking of Oscar buzz, I think it's called Past Lives.
Yeah, I think that might sneak best original screenplay, I think.
It might.
Raphael's got some thoughts.
Critically acclaimed by Celine Song, movie. You know, Valentine's just gone by. What's there not to like?
An amazing love story, man. It's something that, you know, it's for the ages. I'm just bitter about this film. I didn't like it at all. The reason that I know people that loved it and said, like, oh, this is the best film I have seen for the past years or something like that.
Are they friends anymore?
But I am very straightforward. So, like, no, I think you're wrong first. And I think it needs some blood in it. You know, like, I mean, like the magic sugar sex blood magic. What was the name of the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Blood sugar sex magic.
Blood sugar sex magic. Yeah.
Okay.
In a sense of, like, I just think too dull, and the basis is like, you know, it feels like it's a romance, but it's, for me, it's too naive. Is that, that's kind of, I can say that on air. It's just like naive. It's just like, it has no. I could not see the attraction I could not see the attraction between the characters. I could not see that the story is something that could happen in real life, basically. And not to say like poor things couldn't happen in real life as well, but I think poor things have more. Yeah, of course it has more.
what if you did a mashup of both films?
I think it would be great. I think like, you know, first half just like, oh, love story, Prince Charming kind of shit. Second half, Poor Things. I remember like there's one scene in Poor Things. There's kind of like the guys are on the table and they're discussing because like Bella Black or something, Bella, the protagonist, she just ran away to go to Lisbon with this shady guy that, you know.
A rake.
It's always a rake.
A self-professed rake. Terribly played by Mark Ruffalo.
He's not there, come on.
He's a rake,
he's
a cad.
Yeah, he's, you know. It's like, so they went to Lisbon. And then like this, like the his former fiancé and her dad, like dad. It's not that, but yeah, that. They were kind of like on the table saying like, well, I wonder what she's doing right now. And then cut to the scene where like, you know, she's kind of like just, yeah.
Having lots of sex.
Just banging.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just banging everywhere. And yeah. Like, that's, okay, that's a movie. That's good. I'm happy that still exists, you know what I mean? But of course, different movies, different kind of like things. But I think... I was telling off mic that there's this series, BBC series that's very famous as well, called Normal People, mm-hmm. has the same pace and annoys me as much. It annoys me. You know, it's like, okay.
Wait, but there's plenty of banging in Normal People.
No, there is, but well, it's
okay, so that's not the only...
No, I don't think it's about the banging.
It's
not about the banging, it's about kind of like the, you know, the I don't know, man.
Passion.
It's the passion. It's lacking passion. And I think, like, these people, they shouldn't be together if there's no passion involved. At least in the beginning, there's a spark where it's an attraction that you can fight.
You almost moved your hips there.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm almost, like, standing up. It's like, oh, well, come on, guys, wake up. This is not a love story. This is just, like, a fairy tale. And it wasn't supposed to be. It's like, I know this is very cute and all, but I don't care about that anymore. I really don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
past real talk from Raphael.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the Best Picture nomination. So Past Lives gets vetoed by Rafa.
Vetoed.
Poor Things gets vetoed by Steve.
True.
Has anyone seen Maestro?
Yes, I saw Maestro.
Is it up for Best Picture?
Yeah, it's good.
It's a good film. Yeah, yeah. Not amazing.
Bradley Cooper with a prosthetic nose.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. And I think like they are overusing it in a sense of like I know that the prosthetics are really good.
Yeah.
But even like in Ferrari, the guy that plays the Ferrari guy is what's the name of
it? Adam Driver.
Adam Driver. Yeah. So he plays like a very old, very older Ferrari guy, and there's a lot of prosthetics in his head as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling my wife, I was watching with her, say like, okay, so this, I know there's prosthetics in it, but it's also CGI, and you can tell for this, you know, that there's kind of like something that strikes you wrong, that's right. Kind of like almost unreal about it. So it's like watching Indiana Jones. No, the latest one, where he turned back in time and is young again.
Yeah.
And you can see that it's Indiana Jones, but it's kind of like, okay, but your brain isn't fully... They cannot trick you yet. In a point of, okay, this is a real person. No, this is still kind of like a lot of CGI involved.
Yeah.
I think this gets in the way of the acting.
But also for Maestro,
Also for Maestro.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. No, I was just realizing, and there's loads of them I haven't seen, but like Maestro isn't one I would rush to because I'm not a big fan of these kind of biopics and stuff. So,
yeah, it's okay.
Okay, I'm just trying to tease out who the Nectar Island best picture winner could be.
Nectar Island pick.
Yeah, I mean Anatomy of a Fall made Simon fall asleep, so we can't have that.
Simon
fall asleep, to be honest.
But also, it's not kind of like it's never gonna win. Come on.
Okay, Killers of the Flower Moon also is very polarizing here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no. Best picture.
Holdovers, I want to see. You've seen that?
Really good. Yeah. Really good.
I think I would like it.
Not seen it. So I can't.
No. This one is impossible not to like. This is really good. Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure one of us would not like it.
Steve is going to like it as well. Because this is kind
of. Oh, that's a big shout.
I've never met a position I couldn't get contrary to.
I'm starting to feel you might be a bit of a contrarian.
I think that's the one that we're both in.
All right, open mind. I'll go in.
Alexander Payne.
Unfortunately, you've sowed the seed already, Rafa.
No, that's true. I shouldn't have said it.
Rafael thought this was good.
You know what? Alexander Payne in the best of his shape. So it's kind of like if you like Sideways.
Oh, no.
You didn't like Sideways?
No, I did like Sideways.
I'm not a massive fan
of Paul Giamatti.
that's bad. That's a bad sign.
Okay. Yeah,
but you liked him in Sideways.
He was okay. Yeah. He was okay. But he was annoying in Sideways.
I think he's meant to be slightly wet and annoying. So has anyone seen The Zone of Interest?
No. They said it's good.
That'll probably win it.
German film, British director.
It's going to be Oppenheimer. This is Christopher Nolan's
year.
But that wouldn't be the Nectar Island winner.
Oh, okay. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Leonardo was here.
I think it would be the Nectar Island because I didn't dislike Oppenheimer. I just don't think it's the best film. I think Killers of the Flower Moon is the best one. But if you can meet.
Is it one of those processes where if the judges don't agree, then it goes to like everyone's second choice?
No, just like the winner, like the most voted takes all. I think. Yeah. So there's no point. There's no drawing. There's like it's impossible to say like okay. So do you have 107?
So it doesn't have to be unanimous.
No, it's not unanimous. No.
Oh, yeah, because it's like the whole academy. Yeah, that's stupid. Yeah, no, for some reason I thought it was like a book prize. Where
I mean, technically, on a probability basis, it could happen.
It could happen, but it's very rare. So, imagine. Like,
it seems, it seems unlikely.
Like a tie.
Yeah, like a tie. I don't know what happens. Maybe both win. I don't know.
That would be lame. Yeah,
that would be lame. Yeah. Remember, like, when La La Land won and then lost?
Yes.
He won by accident.
I just remember Warren Beatty's confused face.
And Damon Chazelle was there, so like on stage. Oh, poor guy. You know, like on a side note here, Babylon is a great movie. I was discussing that with the DOP who I was working with. I said like everybody like it's underestimated, but it is one of the biggest films from the past 20 years. Mm-hmm. Babylon.
I've not really seen it yet.
It was a flop.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was like such a flop that Damon Chazelle gave an interview last week saying like I don't think I'll be able to make a film anymore. Like people are not answering my calls. So the projects that I have are done because I spent $150 million in this film and only made 70 in the box office.
You do the maths.
And then he's kind of like becoming persona non grata. He's becoming like blacklisted in Hollywood.
70 million quid, persona non grata.
But you know what? That's the way filmmakers are.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's a nice segue because I am just finishing a book about a director who became a pariah in a similar fashion, which is about the book about Michael Camino. So Michael Camino directed Deer Hunter, which was incredibly lauded and won a ton of Oscars. Yeah. His next movie, he made a movie called Heaven's Gate in the late 70s, 80s that was budgeted at $10 million and ran to $40 million in the 1980s.
That's like $4 billion now.
I think it made less than $1 million, or it was they had to pull the movie. He asked them to pull the movie.
So it never came out.
No, it did come out, but it was only a short run. But to follow that thought, and was like critics hated it. They ripped it to shreds. Yeah. I think they had it out for him as well because he's a very prickly character. But many years later, it was rediscovered a lot by French film critics who just kind of lauded it as like this incredible.
So it's become a cult classic. Yeah.
So there we go. There's hope for Babylon.
No. Yeah. It's like I think that's something that, you know, like if you push the language
too forward, people are not gonna get it in, like, instantly. So it's like
it's like Past Lives. It's just way ahead of its time.
No, but like everybody loves it, but me, because I'm seeing this shit. This,
like, sorry, yeah. I'm just trying to trigger him again.
I'm seeing that this is just a fake, kind of like, you know, it's a film that was made like using some of the other tricks in the book. So it's not good at all. Like, but Babylon pushes the language forward in a way that I think people are not, you know, like, I think maybe it's going to become something, but it's like William Friedkin with the Scarecrow, you know, like he made like The Exorcist and then French Connection, and then he makes Scarecrow. And then
I've not seen Scarecrow.
With Scarecrow, he went to Latin America, and he was like kind of like a hell of a. Was like
it with James Woods, this one?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is it called Scarecrow or is it
Scarecrow? Or
I think it's called something else.
I think Scarecrow.
Okay.
Yeah, come to Nectar Island for all your facts.
No, yeah. check it out. Winnie the Pooh King. I think. Because maybe,
oh, go on, you tell us the story. No, about
maybe,
the,
maybe
about
I'm translating him from Portuguese, and then it's a different title in English.
I think it might, but go on, tell us the story.
Like,
about
So he made this film. He spent a lot of money on it, and it didn't make anything on the box office. And
in English, it was called Sorcerer.
Sorcerer.
Yes. Okay.
Sorry, Sorcerer, not Scarecrow. Sorcerer.
And it didn't have James Woods in it. I got myself confused. It's Roy Scheider.
Roy Scheider,
who we know from Jaws.
Yes. And but this is such a good movie. If you watch it nowadays, it's like how in the world he was able to make that scene, you know, like, and these scenes are kind of like, you know, there's no CGI back then. Then
so this was after Exorcist.
After,
And the French Connection.
And the French Connection. So he was like very hot. Yeah, it's very hot in the market.
But French Connection is so different.
But he's a really good filmmaker.
Exorcist is great. I never really thought to think like who the filmmaker was for the Exorcist.
Yeah, William Friedkin is kind of like amazing, like a powerful guy. And then he did that, and then he was blacklisted forever. He never properly made another Hollywood film after that. And I think it's about his character as well. He was kind of like this Orson Welles kind of character of imposing himself upon the industry. And the industry, the empire strikes back. You know, if you do that, the guy say, okay, so you got away with one, got away with two, and now you have a flop, you're done. No one's there to recall anymore. Yeah. That's sad, but that's the life you chose, I guess. I think like... I think
look
that's
at you with the Godfather 2 quote there. This is the life we chose. Hyman Roth.
You have to wear your
sitting in Cuba.
You have to wear your stripes. You know, if Orson Welles went through that, if Fellini went through that, Antonioni, all these guys, you know, like Fellini won 3 Oscars, and in the end of his life, he couldn't make a film. Kurosawa the same. So it's like, oh, you know, you can just. I think it's just like it's part of the process, and I think like. If you truly like, I think if you really true to yourself, you're gonna have some flops in the middle of the way, just like Bob Dylan, becoming a Christian and flopping for 3 records in a row.
Sure, yeah, but then he made the big comeback. Then he won Grammys for was it Time Out of Mind?
No, he won Grammys for Blood on the Tracks.
Yeah,
so big comeback was Blood on the Tracks, I think.
Was that after the Christian phase?
After the Christian phase. Right, and then he forgot about Christ and then just, you know, got a...
I'm sure he didn't forget about Christ. He probably just, you know, went a little bit more low-key with it.
Yeah, low-key. So,
he weaved it into the day and day, the day-to-day.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, well, speaking of flops and comebacks, we'll come back right after this musical interlude.
good one.
Matt. We'll
Yeah, welcome back to Nectar Island. That was the track Daydream Repeat by Fortet. It feels like we're almost at the end of the show.
We're already.
I've got...
too many films to discuss.
Yeah, too many films to discuss. Some films that we've seen, films that we haven't seen. It's the moment of truth is when? Oscars?
Oscars Sunday night. Sunday night.
Okay, we'll then do
all
a debrief.
Okay.
But hopefully we'll have seen more movies by then.
Next month we can do a full debrief. Yeah. So there we go. We set ourselves some homework.
Next month we're going to do Dune 2.
I've already got a book review coming up. We've got a final track chosen by you, inspired by a visit. To where?
To Hendrix and Hendo House. It's really good. Where is it?
It's kind of like Mayfair. Oxford Street, Mayfair-ish. Yeah. And yeah, it's like you see like most of the floors are like kind of about Handel, and you see like stuff about the musical scene then. But at the top, they recreate Hendrix's apartment, right?
Yeah. It's like I think they were neighbors, yeah. Like 300 years apart, but they are neighbors. Yeah. And they, the cool thing is that there was a guy there that was kind of like a volunteer there, and he was like a aficionado for Hendrix, and they would have like Hendrix guitar, and they have kind of like the his room is like recreated. And I think the mirror is original. There are some things that are still original in the place.
But it's funny because it's like it's a tiny kind of shitty room.
And it's very kind of like, you know, you can see kind of like, you know, heroin being, you know, like it's a room that kind of like they said Hendrix was kind of like asleep every day until 4 p.m. or 5 p.m.
And then he'd play in Soho, and then
he came back with like friends and party and George Harrison and all these guys, and there was kind of like videos of him playing
the acoustic
guitar, and
it's a cool museum
in this room. It's really good, and I think like the interesting thing is that and Handel was kind of like. I found out a little bit more about his story, but he was kind of like a very kind of rock star kind of type in his day, back in his day. Mm-hmm. So he had his entourage as well. So people went there to see him playing. And
Handel had a posse, yeah.
Yeah, had a posse. If you hear the music, you can see like, da, da, da. It was very kind of like, you know, powerful in a way. And Hendrix, when he was kind of like late nights in his room, he started to be haunted by Handel. So he was saying, like, I see the ghost of Handel everywhere.
Yeah.
So he was kind of, yeah.
No, it's cool. It's interesting museum, but even though it's like a complete fluke that they were in the same building, it was, right. Your mind builds connections.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, yeah, in honor of Handel and Hendrix, we're going to play a little bit of Georgia Blues by Jimi Hendrix because time is running out. It's from Hillhead to Harlesden.
Yeah, that's good.
Got a first time. Yeah. All right, cool. All right, see you next time.
See you next month. Bye bye.
Misery. And I tears rolling down his face. You know what I'm talking about? They say that a man ain't supposed to cry. But somebody tell me, what else can I do?